And we are now beginning the Parsha Shir this week, which is Parsha Sazria Metzora. Tonight is Chavtes Nisan Tov Shin Ayin Zayin, to correspond with the English calendar, April 25th. And we're going to be touching upon a very serious mitzvah of Shmiras HaLashon, which obviously gets involved with Lashon Hara. And the Parsha Sazria and Metzora actually worked harmoniously together to bring this very important mitzvah to our attention, and how the Torah treats such an avera of Lashon Hara. In Parsha Sazria, Perek Yud Gimel, in the Art Scroll Chumash, page 608, the Torah begins, V'idab Hashem Moshe V'Aharon Lema, Pasuk Aleph, Perek Yud Gimel, Adam Ki Yiyah B'Sorei, Ba'or B'Sorei Seis, Oysa Parachas, Oy Vaheres, if there will be found in the skin, in the flesh of the skin of a person, special signs of tumor. They're called se'es, sapachas, or beheres. These are different kinds of colors that are different shades of white that the kohen is brought. It's brought to his attention. V'hoi ba'or b'soroi l'neged tzaras, and it's in the skin of the flesh as a neged tzaras, as a plague of tzaras. V'huv el aharon hakohen, and is brought to Aharon HaKohen, or el achad mibonav HaKohenim, or to one of his sons, the Kohenim, v'ro'o HaKohen es ha-nega b'or ha-basa, and he will see this nega in the skin of the basa, v'seyur ha-banega hofach lavan, and the hair of this nega turned white, umara ha-nega, and the appearance of the nega, omok me'or b'sara, looks deeper than the skin of the flesh. Nega tzarasu, it's a tzaras, it's a nega, plague of tzaras. V'ra'ohu ha-kohen v'timei oisei, kohen will see him and he will become tummy. When a person becomes tummy, he has to announce, tummy ani, tells people, stay away from me, and he has to run out of the machna. And it's called the machna of Taras, where he's in a state of excommunication until the Taras leaves him. So what happens is that he is locked up in this machna of that's called machna mitzera, where there's a machna where Taras is confined. And he stays there until the Kohen examines him again, and then if it's good enough for him to come back, then he has to go through a process where this Mitzorah has to be cleansed. The Aveira of Tzaras doesn't really come first on the person's body. The truth of the matter is, it first goes on his clothing, first on his house, then on his clothing, and then on his body. That is the order that it comes. As a matter of fact, the order that the Torah mentions is just the opposite. In this parasha, in the beginning of Sazria, it comes first on his body. Later in Parsha Sazria, towards the end of the parsha, it then discusses how it goes on his clothing. If you turn to page 616, Pasuk Mem Zayin, it talks about if the tzaraas goes on the person's baget, his clothing, whether it's made from wool or from pishtin or any other or other kind of or it's made out of skin, doesn't matter. I mean, it's a discoloration and becomes tame. Then the kayan deals with it, and if it's so, then we have to. If it's a real tzaraas, you have to burn the garment. There's nothing you can do with it.
Where are you getting the
and the house and the house is in Parshas Metzora. If you turn to page 624, and in there in pasuk Lamed Dalid, it says Ki Savo El Eretz Kenan Asha Ani Noisin Lachem Achuza. And then there's a process where the Kohen is invited to the house. He first tells you to empty the house completely before he examines it, because if he pronounced the house to be Tameh, then everything in the house is Tameh. So therefore everything in the house is brought out. And if the house is really a house of Tzaraas, then you have to destroy the house, and that would probably be step number one in the process of bringing the Aveira of Lashon Hara to the attention of the person who has committed Lashon Hara.
Why don't we see that today, the Tzaraas?
That's an excellent question.
You don't see it in your house today?
Well,
you're in your clothes.
That's an excellent question.
Some homes are whitewashed. I see some homes whitewashed.
No. The question is very apropos. And the answer is, Tzaraas is not how people label it to be leprosy. It's like a skin disease. It's a nace. Tzaraas that's brought upon the house, the garment, or the body is a miracle. And this miracle, you have to be worthy of such a miracle. Hmm. You have to be worthy of the Almighty's intervention with your behavior to get your attention. It's an attention getter. To get your attention to think about your behavior, to think about how you spoke about other people, and that you should mend your ways, do tshuva, and then you will be free from the aveira. But then there's a process. You get excommunicated. It's midah connected midah. It's measure for measure. By your speaking against somebody, you ended up causing someone to be separated from his friends, from his family, from his associates. You caused the person to suffer anguish of being put down by his neighbors and friends. His feelings were really, really damaged, and as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the time of the Mishkan, taught the Jewish people how to undo that aveira by going to the Kohen and showing him the nega. And it's a very, very humbling experience, because he has to shave his hair, he has to be sprinkled, after he has been excommunicated, and then he comes back to society. It's a very humbling experience, and he's put back in his place. And when he is put back in his place, he is then back to normal living, normal society, and then he's forgiven and he lives a pure and holy life. The question that Zisha just asked is, why don't we experience something like this today? Because we are not worthy of something so unique and so divine.
But we're worthy of something. So God must have set up a different process for us to this present day.
There is.
A different process.
The process today is that when we speak Lashon Hara, we could lose our parnasa, we can lose health, we can lose other things, as obvious. But the true punishment for the Lashon Hara, unfortunately, awaits a person in Shemayim. And the reason for that is, after Zisha just asked a question, why not now? Because we are not worthy of it now, but the Lashon Hara doesn't escape, doesn't disappear, doesn't dissipate, it's there. It's there. And what happens is, the person who spoke Lashon Hara is later indicted in Shemayim for having spoken Lashon Hara by none other than the prosecutor himself, which is the Satan himself. The Satan who made you speak against somebody is the individual who comes up to Shemayim with, let's say, with his portfolio or his big fat attaché case, and he's ready to say something about this Reuven Ben Shimon, will give him a name, and Hashem says, don't tell me anything about Reuven Ben Shimon, because if Reuven Ben Shimon was careful in his lifetime not to speak Lashon Hara, then Mida Keneged Mida, we have the rule, measure for measure, then you can't speak against him. Which means that you can't even open up your attaché case, so to say, and say a word against him. Because what you're going to be doing is speaking Lashon Hara against him. So if this person did speak in his lifetime, and did tshuva in his lifetime, comes up to Shemayim, and the Satan wants to really let him have it, because he has it documented, Hashem says you can't. Because we have a policy of Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure. And you can't do this to him. Go home. Get away. I don't want to see you. That would be the lucky break that that person will have. But if the other way, unfortunately, is going to happen, where Hashem says, did this neshama speak Lashon Hara and not do tshuva in his lifetime? All of a sudden, can we prove, did he or did he not? And all of a sudden, there are malachim to prove that he has spoken and he has been guilty, speaking about others. So Hashem says, okay, Satan, you're the prosecutor. Open up your attaché case and say what you have to say. Now that's a very, very serious situation. It was much better in the time of the Mishkan, or the Beis HaMikdash, when people found out immediately that they were guilty of Lashon Hara, suffered the consequences in this world, and they were clean and were done. It's much worse when we have to face the consequences in the world to come, and therefore it's always best before a person goes to sleep to have a thought of tshuva on anything that he might have said to somebody, or he implied some evil about a friend or a neighbor or a relative, so that before he goes to sleep, he has a thought of tshuva, and that can save the day in the time of reckoning. Because Hashem, again, pays very careful attention to mida keneged mida, measure for measure. And if a person makes an effort not to be guilty, and if, let's say, he knows he was guilty, and he goes over to the person and apologizes, and he says, you know what, I've slipped. I've said something I shouldn't have said, and I apologize, and I'm asking you to forgive me, and I'll be much more careful, rather than being reckless in my talk. That would work. Yes.
Do you think a good defense, like, you know, when I go to court, I can tell them that, you know, I was born into a time where we were very, very spiritually low. And because of that, I shouldn't be heavenly, like, there should be some kind of leniency. Because I don't have the spiritual depth like the people had in those times.
I am 100% sure that would definitely make tremendous ripple effects in heaven. But to say, would you be scot-free, I can't promise you.
But that would also be, I mean, Hashem knows, he's already taken that into account.
Yes,
Yes. Yes, it's worth bringing it up.
Well, you want to know something?
You have to be, you have to be respected
just
for a good
insanity.
Court case.
Just yeah. plead yeah. insanity. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Right, I was going to do that too.
Insanity. Well, again.
Mens rea.
So, I mean,
mens rea. Do you know mens rea?
In response, though, to Zisha's question, I think we've got a clear answer that they were much luckier there then than we are today. But we are fortunate to have, Guard Your Tongue. There's a special concise volume that goes over the Chafetz Chaim, the concise laws of Lashon Hara and how we are to be careful from it. And by learning this Sefer, I can
actually,
where is it here?
The beige one. Which just one? To your left, left. We are there.
Yeah.
This one? Okay, this is one of the many Svarim on the Chavetz Chaim. Here, this is a lesson a day. This is, of course, much more elaborate than the other Sefer. The other Sefer is much more concise on the actual laws of Shmirat HaLashon.
Guard Your Tongue is actually Pliskin, right?
Yes, Rabbi yeah. Pliskin.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah. I thought you meant Sefer Shmirat HaLashon.
Well, the Sefer Shmirat HaLashon is the Sefer the Chofetz Chaim has put together, which was a monumental work that had made a tremendous, tremendous impression in the entire Jewish world. We put all the scattered laws of Lashon Hara into one volume, and Rabbi Pliskin further made it easier for the English-speaking world to become more familiar with the laws, and it's mandatory to learn those laws. I learned these laws with my wife at the supper table. We have a certain schedule. Sometimes we learn Hilchos Brachos, sometimes we learn Hilchos Shmiras HaLashon. We have different nights, and that's an idea. It's broken up into small little sections and little parts, and it's not overwhelming. It's really reduced into tidbits, and it's an idea to try to adopt that custom of learning at your supper table a little bit of Shmiras HaLashon, and it makes you much more aware. And by learning the laws of Shmiras HaLashon, that in itself gives you some divine protection in not stumbling. Now, what I mean to say, this extra siyata d'shmaya, this divine protection, if you show HaKadosh Baruch Hu you want to get better in not speaking against your fellow man, and you didn't master the Sefer, you didn't master the book, but you started the road to recovery, so to say. You made that step ahead. Then there's a special heavenly protection. Habolatayim Messiah, I say. There's a chazal that says those who try to purify themselves, God helps them. So even if you haven't mastered it, but you want to get to it, there's a special shmira, a special protection in learning by starting the laws of Shmiras HaLashon, and that will help you protect you even if you didn't master all the laws.
Can we speak Lashon with God?
Could you speak Lashon Hara
with God?
I'm not sure. There are certain times where Lashon Hara is not only allowed, but it's a mitzvah. You have to understand in the circumstances.
If I want to try and understand this situation, and I want to have a conversation in my prayers or whatever with God, this is just with man against man.
Exactly.
I could tell him anything.
Anything. That's only... Now, exactly what... We just mentioned, basically, the parasha that talks about what would happen if a person speaks Lashon Hara. It first goes on his house, his clothing, and his body. It's an attention getter. Basically, that's what it is. It's no less than a person, I once said this mashal, getting a toothache. Now, a toothache is not a pleasant experience, but what the tooth is doing to you in a more comical way, he's talking to you. He's saying, I'm in trouble. would you please help me? If you don't help me, I'm gonna fall out of your mouth. I'm gonna be taken out. There'll be an infection, an abscess, and then you'll who knows what after, and you'll lose your tooth. So actually, it's an attention getter. A toothache is not pleasant, but it's an attention getter. The same thing is becoming a mitzvah. Hashem wants to get your attention, so that if you do tshuva, then you free yourself from punishment and you refine your body, your soul, so that you go to Shemayim as a clean, refined person. So it's very, very important that this concept of Shemir Salashon, of guarding your tongue, this whole idea of getting this Taras for Lashon Hara is understood correctly, that we have to understand that words in the eyes of the Torah are not at all cheap. Words are extremely powerful, extremely expensive, and they could harm and kill people. So, and we have to be very careful.
So, is it a sin to speak Lashon Hara?
A terrible sin.
So, I'm just in the parsha before, we're talking about sin offerings. And you could give a korban or something rather for the sin offerings, but this is a totally
It's a different kind of a sin, and it requires a different procedure to get clean.
Right.
It's not the same.
Right.
It's not one korban fits all.
Right.
No, this is a special aveira, and you have to understand it's a serious aveira. Now, I didn't go into the depths of the aveira, but I just very on the surface. Lashon Hara is a kind of assassinating the personality of another person. You are hurting someone's neshama. You're hurting someone's ego. You're hurting someone's profession. You're hurting someone's feelings. Feelings are very important. What are you doing? How are you doing that? By using your word that Hashem gave you in order to separate you from an animal. An animal does not have the ability to talk. And if you want to know exact the language that the Targum says, if you want to go to for a moment to the beginning of Bereshis, something very important would be revealed. Come, turn to page 10 in the Art Scroll. On page 10, Pasuk Zion. Vayitza Hashem Elokim es Adam. Hashem formed Adam, ofa min ha'adama, dust from the ground. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul. Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya, and from that point on, Adam became a living creature. Look at the Targum. The Targum of Pasuk Zayin, the last few words, Vahavas ba'adam l'ruach memalela. The ruach memalela means a speaking being. Hashem put speech into the Adam that made him different than an animal. He gave him the ability, he gave him the intelligence to speak, to communicate, and he is now called, after Hashem blew into him a nishmas chayim, he's now a lenefesh chaya. So now Hashem goes ahead and gives this person the abilities to speak, and he uses Hashem's gift to go ahead to speak against one of Hashem's children with Hashem's gift. So that's terrible. To use Hashem's gift to speak against Hashem's children when Hashem does not want you to do that. So the gravity of the Aveira is that here you took the level of an Adam where now it was blessed to be able to speak, and you're now lower than an animal who can't speak and harm anybody.
Can you speak Lashon to learn from a situation?
Could you speak Lashon Hara?
Yeah.
Of course.
You don't want to. You're not doing it to gossip or put the person
you're
down.
You are definitely allowed, and in certain
it's
cases...
from a learning experience.
You are not only that, you are permissible. That is why, I can't stress it enough, this book called Guard Your Tongue, written by Rabbi Pliskin, is not only a fundamental work, it's mandatory that you it. And it's worth buying it. It's not expensive. And it's worth learning on it on a regular basis. And you could enhance and enrich your life and your family's life by getting to become more aware. In that book, you'll find the instances that not only are you allowed to, but it's a mitzvah to speak against somebody when it requires.
And also how, because
there's a certain technical ways of expressing itself. The Chafetz Chaim, just tell you, Chafetz Chaim is a beautiful mashal, why it's so detrimental and terrible. It's a terrible aveira. The aveira of Lashon Hara is such a terrible, it's equal to the three cardinal averas. Gilia Raish Shvichas Dam Navaida Zara. Immorality, killing, murder, right? Shvichas Dam, Gilia Raish Shvichas Dam Navaida Zara, and idol worship. It's worth all three together. All three together. It's so bad. Now, he says a beautiful mashal, and I think it makes the point. He says, let's make believe there was a person who had no ability to. No ability to speak. And he went all over the world to find a doctor that would go ahead and try to go ahead and perform some kind of operation to make him speak. And finally he found a professor that he said, it's going to be a very difficult operation. I don't know if I can do it, but I will try. Sure enough, after many hours of the operation, the man gets up and he's able to speak. And you can't imagine how grateful the man is to the doctor. The next day, the doctor overhears him speak slanderous words against the doctor. The chutzpah of such a thing, a day ago he couldn't speak. There was no question of him slandering the doctor because he couldn't speak. Here, all of a sudden, he's slandering the doctor. We are doing the same. The doctor is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He gave us speech. He gave us the ability to speak. And with our speech, we are slandering him by slandering his children. So therefore, the Aveira of Lashon Hara is a very serious Aveira. Unfortunately, most people, in some form or manner, are guilty of it. But that's not a reason for us to walk around with locks on our lips. It's not a reason for us to abandon the course of life and stop speaking. We have to train ourselves how to speak correctly. And by training ourselves how to speak correctly, knowing that there's a seriousness to all of this, this would repair the problem, and this way we would not get into the problem of speaking against others. We're familiar of Mihu Isha Chofetz Chaim. We say it in the davening every Shabbos. Who is Mihu Isha Chofetz Chaim? Oyev Yomim Liris Tov. Who wants to see his days good? Nitzol Shainchu Meiro Usvasech Medaber Mirmah. Guard your tongue from speaking evil, and your lips from speaking trickery. By doing that, you will guard your life from many, many problems. How many people have gotten into disputes for saying things incorrectly or just implying the wrong nuance and conveying the wrong message and getting into a fight with his wife or with his boss, or sometimes it can run into a war between two kings, because kings become very anxious at what's being said to them or about their country, and all of a sudden they fly off the handle and you have yourself a war.
Is a boy considered a fellow man? Says you shouldn't speak to your fellow man. Is a boy considered a fellow man?
Well, the mitzvah is not surrounding a goy, but my opinion is that it's not a good habit to speak lashon hara about a goy, because if you get into the habit of speaking about people, it's inevitable for you not to slip and speak about a Jewish person. Is there an aveira? I don't think there's an aveira. But is it a wise thing to do? I don't think it's wise at all.
Can you imagine the Kiddush Hashem when people look at you and you won't speak badly about anybody, even somebody who in front of you is upsetting you? Okay, they're a goy, so what? But look at the other goyim in the room, and they're not. Like, imagine the Kiddush Hashem just from keeping quiet. It's hard.
it's definitely hard, but there is definitely a reason to believe that people look up to people who are careful in how they speak to others. And I don't think that anybody can argue that. I think that's very, very important. It's interesting to note that the Rebbeinu Bachaya speaks of a question that should bother us. Why is the Chumash give us the punishment backwards?
Right, I was going to ask you that.
Why does the Torah give us the punishment backwards? It first starts off with the punishment in our skin, in our body. Then it goes into our clothing. Then finally it goes into our homes.
How do you know that's backwards? The Torah is given in that order.
Because there's a Medrash in Parshat Metzora that explains the laws of Metzora, of Tzaras, and explains this. The procedure is the other way around. That it tries, again, it's an attention getter, tries to go from level to level and try to get him, listen, it's an attention getter that the person has to get out of his house and then finally loses his house. He has to say, well, maybe I spoke against my friend. I got tzaras on my walls. And if that doesn't wake him up, then he has tzaras on his clothing. And clothing in those days are much more expensive than it is today, because they made them everything by hand. It's not like you go into the store like Moore's and you need a suit. You just pick up a suit. You can get a suit in maybe a half hour or less, and you go home and finished. They have to weave stitch by stitch. And you lose that. That was a blow to your pocket, your financial level of having to lose something rather expensive. Plus the fact it was a bizoyan, it was a shame that your clothing was now labeled as tzaras. And if that doesn't wake you up, then finally you get it on your body. So the question is, why is it brought down backwards? That's the
well, Miriam got it as soon as she got in her body, as soon as she spoke it. There was no sequence of events.
That is true. It could be because she was such a holy person that didn't need the other way around. That's true. But that's a very good point. I actually never thought about that. An excellent point. But I want to tell you what I looked up in my friend Sefer Bikurei Moshe. He brought down the Rebbeinu Bachaya, and afterwards he brings down an explanation from Rabbi Shvel on Rebbeinu Bachaya. Very interesting answer. The Torah wants you to know the seriousness of it right away, by knowing it's going to end up on your body. know there is to scare you, to know that this is dangerous stuff. You know, you want to tell somebody, right, a child, you know, don't play with fire, and you show somebody who burned himself, you scare him, right? You don't want to tell him you first did a little Band-Aid, and maybe you're going to put some salve, or you show him someone who was really burned, then you scare him good. The Torah wants you to take this very seriously. So therefore, the Torah puts the worst punishment first to make you understand this is dangerous business. This is a very serious affair. And like I told you before, it's equal to the three cardinal affairs. And like we explained before, that in Shemayim, it's a very serious thing that the Neshama has to go ahead contend with the prosecutor. It's a very serious thing. We might not see it that way, but it's a very serious thing. And looking at it from that point of view, I think there is much reason for all of us, myself included, to always be familiar with the laws of Shmiras HaLashon, to know when to speak or when not to speak, but at least to know when to ask somebody, is this Lashon Hara? I'm about ready to say something about somebody because I have a question. For example, someone calls me up for a shidduch. Someone's going to ask me about a certain boy or a certain girl. And I know that there's something not 100% correct with this person. If there could be a medical issue, should I tell the person about it, or should I keep it a secret? It's a Lashon Hara. If I say there's something wrong,
really,
it's the halacha is, of course, you have to ask the Rav with the details of the scenario, but keeping that a secret could be an aveira. What do I mean? You have to ask the Rav. Because you have to know how severe is the illness. You have to know, is it a life-threatening illness? Is it just something minor? Is it something major? The Rav will ask you a dozen questions. And sometimes he'll say, you don't have to say any more than this. Or he'll say, you're forbidden to say anything. Or he'll say, you must say exactly what you know. That's all part of the laws of Lashon Hara. Let's say a person is in business, right? And you want to buy a product from a wholesaler. And you know that this wholesaler is not honest. This wholesaler does cheat his customers. He'll sell you, let's say he sells sweaters. And every 10 or 15 sweater is a damaged sweater, and he throws it into the pile because he just fudges it up. He doesn't want to make a big deal over it, and he's been caught doing that. And someone asked you, should I buy my products from this person? So you have to be careful. You have to be very careful. And this is discussed. This is discussed in Shmiras HaLashon. Yes.
What about with spouses?
What about
now,
them?
Realistically, spouses like in confidence, they like to trust each other and to share things that they think that is just going to be said amongst them. So it doesn't matter who we're talking about in any kind of relationship. Lashon is Lashon, no matter if it's with your wife.
I have to, Daniil, numerous times, I can't even count on my 10 fingers how much my wife and I have discussed. My wife says, no, I can't tell you this because it brought us Lashon Hara. She had a conversation with another lady. I said to my wife, I can't go any further. This is not something I can tell you. How this has come in, I cannot say,
right. Because
it brought us Lashon Hara.
These things come up a lot.
And you should
Everyday
know.
Situation.
And you should know the Torah brings a case where Korach got into trouble because of his wife. He related certain things to his wife, what was going on in the Mishkan, and his wife made a whole to-do about it, and she was the one that triggered on the whole rebellion. And ultimately, Korach and his whole company there got swallowed up in the ground from the wife getting involved. If you have to make it clear to your wife that there are laws of Lashon Hara and my keeping it secret is not in any way a breach of my love or confidence in you, it's just that this is something that I am not allowed to share, whether it could be a secret that my friend told me I can't tell you, or it's something that is forbidden simply because it's information that borders Lashon Hara, your wife will respect you for it, if anything.
Over time. Huh? Maybe not day one. Yeah.
No, definitely.
Years and years.
No, I'm telling you, but it's something that you should be aware of, and it's clear that it works if you say it in those words, and there should be no problem. At any rate, I just want to conclude right now that Mi'atz Hashem, the Parshas Sazria Metzora, was definitely an eye-opener to us, definitely helped us become more aware, we'll become much more aware of the mitzvah of Shmiras HaLashon. It should inspire us to learn the laws of Lashon Hara, and it should inspire us to be more careful on how we speak about other people. And with this, we will definitely have fulfilled Hashem's ratzon of being an Am Kadosh and an Am Segula for us and our families and our communities. Thank you very much.
So one question for you. So the concept, what I learned tonight is the concept of if in doubt, don't say it.
Exactly.
But it's not necessarily correct.
If in doubt, if you have to speak to somebody.
I know what you're saying.
No.
They'll respect you.
No, you go on Shemayim and you say to Hashem, I didn't say this. I should have said it. I should have spoken up, but I wasn't sure.
Okay.
Hashem will not penalize you for that answer.
Because it says fellow man.
You say I didn't know. I thought it was Lashon Hara.
It's a brethren. Right.
But Hashem might ask you, so did you have an opportunity to ask the Rav? Did you ask the rabbi? You understand? If you ask the rabbi and he said you should have said something, that's the indictment. The indictment is that you didn't ask the rabbi.
But that's a lesser offense than being indicted.
Of course. That's like a slap on the hand. You can't compare the two. I hope I made the parsha a little clearer to you.
These are very difficult parshas.
But you keep causing the surface.
Yeah, but I covered the surface of Shemir's Lashon. I didn't go into what the colors. It's difficult when you technically speak of every word and try to understand what's going on here. But I spoke about the two parshas as a collective halacha on Shmiras HaLashon, and you should walk away with an awareness and appreciation that in those days Tzaras was a serious business. And the truth of the matter is it's still a serious business, but we get Tzaras in heaven and not here. That's the difference. It's a very, very big difference. And that my awareness to you in this was it was the purpose of going to the parsha in this way. Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
I mean, you have to know Lashon to do your job properly.
Right.
But it's a good thing to know it.
Rabbi, thank you. But it's also important to understand.
Did I make it clear?
No. I agree. But I'm saying is that the environment, you're so surrounded by Lashon
Hara. Yeah.
Wow. It's extremely difficult.
In general.
I'm saying, as a police officer,
you have to know Lashon. You've got to do your job.
You're immersing yourself in that environment.
Yeah, but
it's so hard to write about. I'm not saying it's impossible.
But you've got to know all kinds of situations. second bit information, you've got to go on suspicion. All the rules are sort of broken.
It's in here,
right? Do your job.
Well, you know what? I would recommend reading the book. Like I read part way through A Lesson a Day.
I have
even
that
the
book.
Intro. The intro basically changed my life. Like the way it talks about.
Okay, so Rabbi, I have to tell you.
Yeah. Was it clear what I said?
Yeah. And I came in halfway through. I understand.
Yeah.
So the book, the Rabbi Pliskin book. Somebody advertised online something I like in a group that I never usually looking at. It was on Facebook, whatever, and they said, "Oh, I have some books to sell." So I said, "Do you happen to have any Jewish books?" Actually, we're moving, and I'm trying to get rid of a bunch of Jewish books too. If you want them, here's some prices. And it was like $3 for a paperback, $6 for a hardcover.
Yeah.
So I got two Rabbi Pliskin books, $6 each.
Wow.
I got like a copy of Chumash with some major commentaries that's an out of print edition for $6 each.
Right.
And I'm paying $100 on books.
Wow.
And I got like a library of beautiful.
For peanuts.
Like, Hashem wanted me to have these books because there's no reason, there's no other reason that she would like to put them up. You know?
Yeah, I have it. Thank you. You have to make a burning fleshes because. ורבי נפושה יש רבי איזו חסרים ונעל כל מה שברא זה להכיס בהם נפש כל חוי ברוך חי הולמים. Okay. Okay. So what's the story? I'm going to go to Yeshiva now. Is that right? You're going to have a mayor. What's the story? You're going to depend on me?
I want to learn more about the Lashon. About situations.
That you have to get Rabbi Pliskin.
I have the guard your tongue. I have that.
The from Rabbi Pliskin.
No, that's the guard your tongue is Chafetz Chaim.
Yeah, but Rabbi Pliskin's book called Guard Your Tongue, Rabbi Pliskin, is something. These are situations exactly what you're looking for.
Make sure, absolutely.
Exactly, you gotta go buy
because
that.
Life can be boring, like you're
I'm
saying.
Telling
if you just walk around with your lips sealed. You know, like there's situations that you can speak about things to learn from that can benefit you and.
But you're an outspoken guy, so the question of opinion, you've got to watch that your opinion isn't.